Hey, my friend, how are you today? Nicole here. How's your heart? I am well. Today, I want to talk about the importance of shifting and maintaining perspective and how journaling as a coaching tool can help us begin to find new angles in our obstacles and navigate the challenges in our lives. So recently in my personal life, I've been struggling with something that has been a challenge in my business, and I've been stuck here for probably 1 year and a half, maybe 2 years. And it never really dawned on me to kind of step back. I've just been like forcing my way through, trying to navigate this obstacle, trying to break through this challenge, and I've never been successful. And so recently, I've been in like this quiet space, and I decided to just stop focusing so much on the obstacle I'm facing and take a step back and maybe gain a different perspective of how I'm approaching this plateau in my business that I just can't seem to break through or get around. And I want to tell you that the act of stepping back has made all the difference. I have had a breakthrough within the last week or two because I just decided to stop looking at the obstacle and change my perspective. And so I wanted to share a little bit about how to maintain your perspective, even in your challenge, and how to shift it when it's necessary. And I want to talk about that and share a couple of exercises that I've used in my journaling practice that can support you as well. So I hope that this conversation is supportive. So, what about you? Have you ever found yourself stuck in a rut? Just facing those same old problems or obstacles where it may seem like there's no end, like me, like you just can't get around it. And I think it's a common experience, but it took me so long, but it's really simple when you use your journal. And I'm going to talk about this why, like later, like why it is so simple and how we can better serve ourselves if we decide to step out of our brains for a minute and go to the page. We can keep ourselves from ruminating over our problems if we would just think about them differently and get our thoughts out of our heads and on to the page. So let's talk about perspective. What is perspective? Perspective that refers to the way we see and interpret the world around us. Our perspective is influenced by our beliefs and our experiences and our values, and it shapes how we perceive ourselves and how we perceive others and the situations that we encounter. So when we talk about shifting perspectives, it means consciously or with intention, changing the way we view a specific situation or problem. So instead of just being stuck in a narrow or limiting or linear viewpoint, we can open ourselves up to new possibilities. And I love that word associated with perspective is possibility and insight. Shifting and maintaining our perspective, that's really important because it's very crucial in our personal lives and in our professional lives. I know a lot of us in this space, we're coaches, we're therapists, we're people who help people. And so when we're able, when we are able to cultivate the skill of shifting perspective or maintaining perspective, then that has a ripple effect in our lives, with our families, and in our businesses, or in our workplaces, and anywhere we're connected with other people, right? And so here are five ways that shifting perspective or maintaining perspective could be helpful. Number one, I love this one the most because this speaks to me the most, but it helps you break patterns. Often when we're stuck in this limiting or negative space or perspective, what do we do? How do we know we are stuck? We know we are stuck when we tend to repeat the same behaviors over and over and over again. So if there's a place in your life where you keep taking the same action, or you keep doing the same behavior, or having the same habits that aren't serving you, then you have to see that what you're doing is engaging in a pattern, a thinking pattern, a behavior pattern. And when we take time to shift this perspective, it disrupts our patterns. And that allows us to break free from the cycle of unproductive habits and responses. The second thing is that when we're able to shift our perspective, it encourages growth. We want to keep our perspective and our mindset. We want to keep it flexible. We want to be able to allow our minds to be malleable. When we allow ourselves to be rigid, we become fixed. And a fixed mindset will not change anything. But if we're in the space of flexibility, a space where we can expand, a space where we can understand that there's different perspectives that we get to choose from, then we're able to grow out of every situation. Again, we're open to these new ideas. We're open to new experiences. We're open to new opportunities for learning and development. And to me, that's the whole entire process of life. Just being open, just leaning into new experiences, new ideas, new opportunities. Why? So we can learn and consistently grow and develop. The third way that shifting or maintaining our perspective serves us is that it enhances problem solving. Now, I love this because so often, ask yourself, how often, think of a challenge you're in right now. Like, what challenge are you facing right now? It can be in any area of your life. It can be financially, mentally, emotionally, physically, a relationship obstacle or challenge. And ask yourself, when was the last time I focused on the problem? And then ask yourself, or ask yourself, how long have I focused on this problem? And then ask yourself, how long have I focused on finding a solution? Now, if you're like me, or most people, we give so much energy to focusing on our problems and on our challenges and on those obstacles. But I know for me, we rarely spend time on our options and our choices and on possible solutions. Isn't that crazy? And we focus on the emotional part, We're attached emotionally to our problems and to these challenges. And we don't think about detaching emotionally and getting into a creative mindset where we are able to cultivate solutions for our problems. Life, I am learning, y'all, that life is simply a problem-solving practice. Life, every day, we have opportunities to solve problems. And I say this often, and I'm loving to say this. How do we solve problems? We ask questions. Asking good questions, that's the foundation of solving problems. But when we're in this space of negativity, where we're just ruminating or continuously focusing on talking about emotionally attaching to our problems or obstacles or, you know, challenges, we're not asking questions. We're making statements. Statements that may sound like, why does this happen to me? That's not a question to ask. That's like a unsupportive question. But that is one question that we ask. Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? And we continue to talk about these problems. We tell others about our problems. But again, we rarely stop to ask ourselves good questions. And we rarely stop to ask ourselves, okay, what are my choices? What are my options? What are possible solutions? So when we're able to shift our perspective, and problem solving is a skill that enables us to approach challenges from different angles, and it leads to a more creative and effective problem solving strategy. So I love the word creativity, because when you're solving problems, you're asking a question. When you ask questions, you are generating curiosity. And curiosity and creativity, there's so much power in those two things. If you approach your life with more curiosity, what would change for you? If you approached your life with more creativity, what could change for you? These are questions I've been asking myself for weeks. Because I recognize that I was approaching my life, approaching these situations with a limiting, rigid mindset. And when you approach life like that, you don't see solutions. And therefore, you produce no results. I produce no results. Without curiosity, asking questions, creativity, generating solutions, and taking action. And that's the power that we have. We can be so empowered. That's what we have. That's our personal responsibility. We're creators. We've been given the ability to create. And how often do we use that? And just a side note, we think of creativity. Journaling is a creative practice. And I never would have called it a creative practice before, because when you think of creativity, what do you think of? You think of drawing and painting and sculpting and like doing all these fun, colorful things. I don't really think of writing as creative unless I'm like creative writing, right? But when you are able to produce something in your life, that is creativity. And creativity is already available to us. And so personally, I am reframing creativity in my life. And being more creative through curiosity, which means simply I'm asking myself new questions. I'm learning that no matter what it feels like, it can be uncomfortable. My feelings are not my facts. And we can be so deeply engaged in our feelings that we begin to think of them as facts. And because we think of our feelings as facts, that highly informs our choices and our actions and our habits and our behaviors. And then we find ourselves stuck in this rut and this pattern of behavior because of the pattern of thoughts and emotions we're allowing ourselves to continuously cycle through. But what if we disrupted these patterns? What can change for us? Because I am in control. You are in control. And as soon as we figure this out, that life is not happening to us, but for us, as soon as we figure out that I have an element of control, because what can I control? I'm not saying you can control what's, you know, in your external environment. This has nothing to do in that regard with your external environment, but it has everything to do with your internal environment. Because the only thing that you can 100% control is how you engage with your external environment, no matter what happens in your life. The good, the bad, the ugly, you still are in control because you can control your thoughts. We can control our feelings and emotions. We can control our choices and our actions and our behaviors. We can control the level of curiosity we have about our lives. And we can fully control the creativity we bring into our lives in every situation. We can create something out of it. We've seen so many people do it. In your life, in my life, we have created things out of nothing. And we can't lose sight of the power of creativity that we have available to us. The fourth thing that shifting perspectives allows us to do is improve our relationships. Why? Because it allows us to empathize with other people. We can empathize with their perspectives. We can begin to see things from their point of view, see their situations from their point of view. We can strengthen our relationships and cultivate deeper understanding and connection. We can have more compassion on people. Think of someone in your life. And this person may not be a favorite person in your life. But think of a person that kind of rubs you the wrong way. You just don't jive and vibe with this person. Now I want you to think about, what about that person don't you jive and vibe with? What is it about that person? If you want to write this down, this helps. Think about their behaviors. And based on what we just learned just even now about perspective, what is that person's perspective of their life and about their relationship to their life? This is curiosity, y'all. This is where it gets fun. This is where it gets fun. So with curiosity, what can you determine or assume by their behavior? I'm not trying to say assume, but can you be curious? Just follow me with this thought. What may they be thinking based on their choices? Because we're all human, We share the same human experiences. So when someone is angry or sad or feels some kind of way, it often is manifested in limited behaviors. And so I can look at someone's behavior and I can tell they're probably angry right now, or I can tell they're probably sad right now, or they're probably feeling left out right now. You can tell how a person is acting. You can tell probably how they feel. Because again, our behaviors are influenced by our feelings. And so when you look at their feelings, or they're sharing their feelings, or they're reacting out of their feelings, you can begin to think about, you know, what are they thinking? What could be in their brains right now? Like, what could they be thinking about to make them feel this way and to make them act this way? And you can do this because you do the same thing in your life. I hope that makes sense. And so when I look at a person that may be acting disagreeable or a little edgy or something like that, and I'm just begin to be curious, like, what are they thinking right now? What are they feeling right now in order to behave or act in this way? And so instead of me reacting to their behaviors that's external, I don't have to react to them. I can foster more compassion, more empathy for that person because I understand more about that person. So when you begin to do this work and you're able to process your own thought work and your emotional work, that helps you take a step back and zoom out and be able to see what your patterns are. And when you're able to do this work consistently, you become more empathetic with other people and more sensitive to other people. And that sensitivity and that empathy and that compassion, that cultivates deeper understanding and connection in your relationship. So if I'm dealing with the person or working with the person or engaging with the person that is of a sour disposition, I heard that on an audiobook recently. And I think it was like in Anna Green Gables, I think she said that. Marilda, I am of a sour disposition. That's like so random. Anyway, then you're able to relate and you may be able to say, I understand you may be feeling this way, so and so. Or are you having a good day? Or do you want to tell me about your day? And that creates space from that negative engagement and allows you, again, to not react, but to be proactive and meet them where they may have a need and support them. So it's really helpful to be able to step back and shift your perspective of every situation. And it just promotes growth. And I love it. This is what I'm learning. Just the shifting of perspectives have just been phenomenal in my life. All right, number five. So shifting perspectives allows you to promotes resiliency in your life. So when resiliency is just simply the ability to be bounced back. To bounce back. I think someone coined this. I don't know exactly who it was. They're like bounce backable. To be bounce backable. That was just so cool. So to be able to be bounce backable or just bounce back in your life in the face of adversity, because we all go through hard things. But instead of feeling defeated by our setbacks and by those hard things and those very difficult moments, again, you may not do this all at once, but in that process of growth, in that process of healing, we can begin to view these setbacks or these disappointments or whatever they are, these challenges or, you know, obstacles, again, as opportunities for growth and learning. One thing I want to mention really quick is emotions are simply indicators of what's going on in your head. And many times we give emotions so much power over our lives. And our emotions run our lives because we behave out of our emotions. We behave because we're influenced by our emotions, but yet they hold little weight. They're just simply indicators of what's going on in reaction, you know, what our reaction is to what's going on around us. And so when we are in an emotional state, it's so important that we learn how to manage our emotions and recognize them for what they are. Because when we're facing these problems or these obstacles in our lives and we are directly engaging with them from an emotional state, we're not able to use our brains. We're unable to step back and focus on the facts. And when you're not focused on the facts, it's hard to make decisions, supportive decisions. It's hard to solve problems because in order to solve problems, you have to come with the facts. So when you're able to write down through journaling, write down your thoughts, then it helps you understand what are facts, what's really factual, what's really going on in regards to this obstacle. And you'll begin to understand, and we'll get into a prompt that's going to cover this later. We get to see the facts on paper. And when we see facts on paper versus what's not reality, that helps us also to disengage with our emotions. All right. So, journaling again, going to the page, allows us to explore our thoughts and these feelings that we have and our experiences in a safe and non-judgmental space. And so when you're processing your emotion or you're processing your thoughts, you want to remind yourself that we are engaging in a non-judgmental space. Don't judge yourself as you are writing. The world is doing that for you. Please do not judge yourself. Just write out of curiosity. Okay? Be curious about your words and your thoughts. Again, writing just provides that opportunity to step back and examine your perspective from a fresh distance. When you journal, again, you can challenge your assumptions. You can question your beliefs. You can explore alternative viewpoints. You can use prompts and exercises and guided reflective questions to dig deeper into these thought patterns and to uncover the underlying biases or limiting beliefs that are keeping you in this constant cycle of behaviors that make you feel like you can't push through an obstacle or a challenge. We want to continue to externalize our internal dialogue. And I'm going to keep saying this because I want this to be deeply ingrained in you, as it is becoming deeply ingrained in me. Externalize, externalize, externalize. Because if you're like me, I am internalizing everything. When I am processing something and it's really deep, I'm not talking about it. I will hold it in for a very long time. But I'm holding it in my mind. And so if I don't get it out on paper, I'm not really sure what I think until I write it out. That's just the way I process. And you're here listening to the Journal Coaching Podcast, so I can probably believe that you process the same way. And some people, like my husband, you may process externally with other people, and that's healthy. But whatever it is, we have to externalize that inner dialogue. and get it out onto paper so we can have clarity and insight into what we are thinking, into our perspectives, okay? And that will allow us to know and understand and identify the areas where a shift may be beneficial. So traditional journaling often invites us to write out these thoughts and leave them there. We feel good for the moment. We've expressed ourselves. We've brain dumped. We've talked about our problems and very hard situations. We've maybe unraveled and talked about circumstances around our obstacles and problems. And for many of us, we just close the journal and that's that. Until tomorrow, we have the same exact thoughts. And so we open up our journals again and we do the same thing. Process those thoughts and emotions, dump everything into a journal. And pretty soon, like me, you'll have years of externalized inner dialogue that sounds the same. I remember looking at books very recently, and over a 7 to 10 year span, you probably don't do this, but I know I did. I was so surprised, like 7 to 10 years, and I'm not even exaggerating. I was writing the same story. Why? Because I was just writing like I was taught to write. Get your thoughts on paper. It feels good. It's cathartic. Whew, you've processed, closed your book, now you're done. No, that didn't produce anything in my life. And so that's what drove me to creating the journal coaching method, because I was so sick and tired of writing. I just completely stopped writing because I was like, if I'm writing the same problem over and over again and I'm not finding a solution through my writing, I'm done. What is the purpose of this journaling practice if I'm not moving further? I didn't know how to write with a purpose or with intention to produce the result I desire in my life. I had no idea until I sat down and wrote myself through this, what turns out to be the journal coaching model, my 5-step process for writing with intention. And when I started to do that and have a structure for my practice, that's when things started changing. And so again, in journaling, journal coaching is the integration of what we know as journaling, writing things down, but integrating it with coaching, which is really just asking good questions and finding solutions and taking action. So let's talk about a strategy or two that can help us to maintain or shift our perspectives when we are facing those challenges or obstacles. Now, this strategy, I think I'll just talk about one for now. Okay, but it has 3 parts. It involves 3 key steps. Number 1, awareness. Number 2, reframing. And number 3, action. So the first step is this. And the first step for me is always this. Become aware of your current perspective on the challenge or the obstacle that you're facing. Just be aware. And I'll include some questions to kind of prompt you in this first step. In self-awareness, we are taking a moment to step back and reflect on our thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and behaviors. So here are 3 questions you can ask as you move through this first step of self-awareness. What thoughts are dominating my mind right now? What thoughts are dominating my mind right now? What feelings are most prevalent right now? What feelings are more prevalent, the most prevalent? How do I feel about this challenge, this obstacle? What beliefs do I hold about my ability to overcome this? What am I thinking? What are my assumptions right now? And you don't have to write all of these out. Just take the ones that resonate. And maybe even more questions may come to mind as you're writing. I'm just offering a few questions that may support you in this practice. Okay, so the first step in this strategy is awareness. Again, we're just identifying and exploring where we are right now in relationship to our obstacle and our challenge. Okay, it's going to help us maintain perspective or shift if necessary. Number two, reframing. So once we've identified our current perspective, now it's time to challenge or reframe it. Now, in this step, we're going to consider alternate viewpoints or interpretations of our situation. So here are three questions you can ask yourself. Number one, how might someone else see this challenge differently? How might someone else see this challenge differently? You can make this even personal. If you're having a struggle with another person or in your relationship, you may ask yourself, how does that person view this challenge? Or how does your, you know, client view this challenge, or your child, or your spouse, or, you know, someone, a mentor? How would they see this challenge differently? You can make it real personal to you. Second question is, what opportunities might I be missing with this obstacle? What opportunities might I be missing in this obstacle? Number three, how can I reframe my thoughts about this as an opportunity for growth and learning? How can I reframe my thoughts around this challenge or this obstacle and reframe it as an opportunity for growth and learning? Okay, so step three, finally take action based on your newly reframed perspective. So if you're looking at things differently now, you're looking for opportunities, your options, your choices. What's available to me right now? What am I missing? So you, based on that, you can identify the next concrete steps you can take to navigate or address this challenge or move forward despite it. Okay, so now because we have these two steps in place, we can now choose. This is intention. We can now choose how we are going to take action. You can address the challenge directly. You can figure out how to mitigate it or navigate it, and how to move forward in spite of the obstacle. Here are three questions that may serve you here. Number one, what actions can I take to overcome this obstacle? What actions can I take to overcome this obstacle? Number two, what can I leverage? How can I leverage my strengths and resources to navigate this challenge? How can I leverage my strengths and resources to navigate this challenge? And question number three, what small steps can I take today to make progress towards my goal? What small steps can I take today to make progress towards my goal? And then you'll take those steps. But see, that just gave you a working model to produce results in your life. And that's what the beauty of the journal coaching practice can do for you. Now you have a mini roadmap of how to go from facing your obstacle to navigating your obstacle and creating something in your life despite it. Doesn't that feel so good? I feel so good when I'm able to just sit down, write with intention, write with a structure, and be able to close my journal knowing that I have truly processed, not just brain dumped, and I have an action plan. I know how to move forward. What a feeling. So, good questions, I tell you. That makes for an effective journaling practice. I love questions. And I'm going to talk about in the future how to curate good questions. How can you formalize good questions for yourself? Because if you can ask a good question, and a good question just fosters action, that's all. It doesn't shut you down. It's not limited. It opens up. It is expansive. It opens you up to your options and your choices. That's the simple formula, the simple essence of a good question. What does it produce? So anyway, here are a couple of reflective questions after you've done your mini reframe and followed the strategy for maintaining and shifting your perspective. If you want to go through these questions just to kind of wrap things up, here are a few for you. There are five. Number one, what lessons can I learn from this challenge? Or what lessons did I learn from this challenge? Number two, how did this challenge align with my long-term goals and values? Number three, what strengths or resources helped me overcome this obstacle? What strengths or resources helped me overcome this obstacle? How have I successfully navigated challenges in the past? And what strategies can I apply here? And the last one, if you need more support, who can I reach out to for further support and guidance during this time? Who can I reach out to for further support or guidance during this time? Your brain should be on fire right now because my brain's on fire just talking about this, because now I know that you have the tool that you need to go out and to face your challenge and your obstacle with a little bit more confidence than you did when you just first tuned into this podcast episode. That makes me so excited. Because I want to hear how you used this simple conversation, these simple strategies, this simple food for thought to move forward and to produce something in your life. So please let me know. Reach out to me on Instagram at the Journal Coaching CO. And please share how this episode supported you. Please like it, share it with people that you know that's going through something. Share the love, spread the word. I would be so grateful for you if you did that. So most importantly, just remember that maintaining or shifting perspective, it's an ongoing practice. You may not get it just today. You may not get it tomorrow or next week, but it's a skill. So be patient and be compassionate with yourself as you navigate your challenges. Just stay open, stay curious, stay creative, and remember that every obstacle is an opportunity for growth and learning in some way. So look for the learning experiences, okay? Don't forget that by cultivating awareness, by reframing your perspective, and by taking intentional action, you can overcome your obstacles with resilience and grace. Thank you for listening. I greatly enjoyed our conversation. I hope it was supportive to you in some way. Again, it's Nicole from the Journal Coaching Company. This has been Food for Thought. Take what you need and take good care, my friend.